Whenever you're ready.
Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
Okay, well then let's call the meeting to order. Is there any public comment? I will tell you that we have one additional agenda item having to do with the Civic Center lease and junior hockey. We'll be taking it for information only. So, this OPG3 Inc. agreement. Didn't we approve this a month ago, or what did we approve?
You approved changing the funds, but we didn't specifically say to implement, and so now
sign the agreement, authorization, sign the agreement.
We really needed to have that.
Oh,
you
okay.
Said go ahead with it, but technically you moved the money, but we didn't word the resolution properly so that we could pull the trigger, so.
Okay.
I would enter that motion. But implement.
Second.
Discussion. If not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes. Wilmer Township Fire Protection Agreement.
Excuse me, I do have a comment or a question on this system. Will this also improve the ability in other words, I'm concerned about the search function on our webpage, city webpage. I think, quite inadequate, and I know we're working on that. I've had conversations with Ross about it, but would this also then, I mean, whatever we do be compatible with this so that citizens can find stuff when they want to see it?
It's my understanding, but they, you know, you only allow certain access to the information that
yeah, I understand
is appropriate.
That, but my, you know,
like minutes, they could search and query minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, right now that's very difficult to do. You get far too many responses, even when you put the date on it. It's just kind of very cumbersome to use. So
it is. And will this take care of that, or will this be part of when we do the whole web design over again? Because we also approved that, did we not?
Yeah, this is kind of the foundation, the background, the system behind the thing, and then the web page, so it'd be linked to our system. There's a component that does that.
Right.
So it's different than the web design project.
Yep. Okay. The Wilmer Township Fire Agreement.
Mr. Chairman, included in your packet is the information that City Clerk Halliday has given us. This is an annual renew for Wilmer Township. This is calculated on the state formula that the city has had in place for a number of years. They have quite a reduction in their contract for 16, and that was due to they had one fire call in 2015. There is safeguards even if they would receive no fire calls, where they pay a portion of the operating costs and that whole formula that you got in your packet. So staff's recommendation is that you approve a resolution authorizing the mayor and administrator to execute the agreement.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Question, how? What, how did we budget, or what did we have in the budget for, like, for this year?
We look at historical data. I would guess that this will have a negative impact on the budget. I'd have to go back and look. I didn't do that, but we can certainly provide that information in the minutes.
Well, I guess my question is there not a way to change the year somehow or other so you can actually get it into budget?
A lot of this is driven by the township's annual meeting dates, which are March, I believe.
Okay.
That's what they like to see, so.
Okay.
We can certainly discuss that.
We're at $3,000-$4,000, but it seems to me that Dovery Township also went down when we did that one here a month or so ago.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think so. Yeah.
Just so I understand this is This is their usage of our fire services to service the township, correct?
It's basically for a standby for the service availability.
Right, and so if they go over this amount, if, you know, they've had one fire, that's great, but what happens if they have six fires?
That will affect their next year contract.
So it's always a year lag time?
Mm-hmm. Based on usage.
Okay, it's always based on usage? Because, I mean, when you look at these, I mean, there's a gap between 47 and 16. Mm-hmm. We never try to equalize this and sort of get an average mark. We just kind of always use the historical.
Well, and the budgetary cost for the fire department and actual cost of the fire department having a variable in there as well.
Okay, so. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Cruz.
Thank you, Chair. What are the triggers? I mean, a lot of times it's assess valuation, population, maybe fire calls?
Yeah, there's a copy of the cost formula included in the packet, and they are cost of the fire service for a year, actual operating costs, cost of the apparatus, which is depreciation, physical plant, that's pretty much the same unless we would have a major, like a substation addition mm-hmm. or something to that effect. And again, the formula, there's an inflationary percentage charge for administration. Market value of buildings. Yeah.
What are the triggers that make a change? Is it
fire calls, basically, fire number of hours of fire, and or if there's a large addition in market value. I mean, like Wilmer Township, if there was something on the fringe of the community that built a major thing that wasn't in the corporate limits, would have an impact as well. But mainly the fire hours drive it.
I think that 14, that was Arnold's fire, wasn't it, for 47,000?
I'll bet it was, because that would have been Wilmer Township.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that was, yeah.
What was that?
Implement dealership?
South of town, Arnold's.
South on 70.
That'd be the number of man hours that it took to fight the fire, because it was a larger fire.
So it's more than just the market value, population?
Population isn't factored into the formula for the fire contract. It's the valuation of the township or the covered area, the cost of the fire department in a number of different areas, and then the number of man hours that they actually use in the prior year based on the number of calls.
It's basically, it's all, I mean, what we charge this year is based on our experience last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
and this, did you say this is a statewide?
This formula? Is a common formula used throughout the state for having fire contracts.
All right, any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes. Before we get into the reports, why don't we do this Civic Center thing? And I suspect, Sean, are you the instigator?
It was going to be Brizendine, but the fact that I don't see him, I'll sit in for now.
I thought he was coming, but...
That was my impression as well. That's
did
okay.
Shelby get one?
Oh.
Okay, Sean, tell us what we got.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first off, I got to apologize for the last-minute addition to the agenda. As you know, some of these things are let's hurry up and wait type things. And so what we have here in front of you, or what you will see on the, my anticipation is to see on the agenda Thursday for the council would be a full, what we're going to probably call a usage agreement. And what we're looking at is a tenant who approached us to place a junior hockey team in Wilmer. And so have use of the ice, use of the hockey facility in the winter. And along with that comes some extended hours, comes some extended months of ice, I guess, a few weeks ahead of and a few weeks behind.
Steve, we just started.
That the existing use up there at the facility. And what this group is telling us is that there is currently a willing seller and currently a willing buyer if they move relatively quickly. And so what they presented us was, and Steve and I and the ownership group has worked together on this usage agreement and a 1 year at this point to make sure things are going to work out okay for everybody and use that particular facility as a tenant, if you will. And so what we would be asking on Monday would be authorization of, I assume, the mayor's signature on this usage agreement for this 1 year.
We're going to do that on Monday?
Agreement. That would be the intent. And Steve talked to...
Further out than that.
Mr. Chair, I just got off the phone with the ownership group, and the sooner we could act on this, the better it would be for them. My intent was to hopefully bring it to the council on the 18th of April.
Mm-hmm.
The timelines that they're being faced with, he had asked if it's something that we could consider on April 4th. That being said, he's got staff working on the lease agreement or tenant agreement, making the changes that we agreed to last week. And I had hoped to have that in my hand to share it with you folks, but they do not have it to us yet. So they anticipate that as early as by noon tomorrow morning, and if that was the case, I would shoot it out to everybody so you could see the details of this. And in hopes that the council would accept this coming to them for a conversation Monday night at the April 4th is what would work best for the group that we're working with.
I wasn't here during this whole process when the stingers came in, but my understanding is it's much the same or very similar to that in the fact that, get an agreement, discussed and worked out, and then authorize some signatures and move forward with what we believe to be a very positive addition to the facility as well as the community.
I would argue it's even a little bit more advanced than the stingers. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. More advanced than the stingers setting, because the user groups, i.e. hockey and figure skaters, have both written letters of support to us as staff in hopes of bringing an organization like this to the facility.
Before, can you explain what a Tier 3 junior hockey team is? Give us some...
I'll let Sean, because he's hosted a player in the past, so I'll let him discuss.
We have, Mr. Chair, and from the community I left, we'd been given the opportunity to host... We hosted up to four different players over the years, and there's three tiers of what they call junior hockey, and junior is more of an age. Okay, so you are too old to play juniors at 21. So most of these players, most of these kids, I say, are between 18 and 20 years old. I've seen a few as young as 16, but most of them are in the 18 to 20 range. So what happens is these players are trying to advance their playtime, their career, if you will, from beyond high school. And so they're trying to get either moving up in the levels of play to get recruited by colleges, get recruited by the higher levels, the higher tiers, if you will, of this organization. So of the three levels, there's tiers 1, 2, and 3. Tier 1 is a lot of times could be similar to a farm team, if you will. The NHL actively drafts out of the tier 1 level teams. There's only one league that is tier 1 in the nation, and not very many teams that are there. So what these players try to do, and what the coaches try to do, is move these players up through the tiers if they have what it takes to move on. This particular ownership group currently owns a tier 3 in Alexandria and a tier 2 in Austin. And so we feel like they know what it takes to run a team. Obviously, they've been successful in doing that. And this would be another tier 3, which is the, if you will, the lowest level of juniors. But these kids are trying to go further or into college and things of that nature. So
are there other teams in the area? Is this? Do they have a lot of travel involved? Or
This particular league, or division of the league, I should say, that this team would be in, is fairly close. In fact, the farthest distance they have would be, there's a team in Breezy Point. There's a team in the metro area. But beyond that, there's Alexandria, St. Cloud.
One of the metro area teams are looking to move to New Ulm.
Yeah, there's another, one of those teams. So, within a couple hours, for all of their, there's six teams maybe in that division of the league, so.
And they play during the winter time?
They do. It's the same. So what would happen in this particular situation is this would match very well with the current users of the facility. So they play same time frame, same. It would be September through March is what it would end up being. And they play 22 home games is what they're planning on playing. And therefore 22 away games. It's a lot of games. But
all Friday and Saturday nights.
Yep, their games are typically or almost exclusively on Friday and Saturday nights. So that matches very well with high school being Tuesday, Thursdays, youth being, you know, Saturday during the day, Sunday during the day, things of that nature. They can do some combined scheduling. And then the other time is the practice time frame actually is during the day for these kids, so that it doesn't conflict with the existing high school scheduling and things that and junior or youth programs. So we feel like it matches very well with what we currently have at the facility, while using the ice that is already there and not being used as much as the potential is, and also by extending those time frames at the front and the end of the season, can get some more programming and use of that particular.
Sean, you had a question.
Actually, my question was going to be all about practice times, and you sort of alleviated some of those. Is there anything that gets displaced with 200 hours of ice time and the game times?
Mr. Chair, the practice time, no. The practice time is going to be all during dead ice. Okay. So the 200 hours of practice is well within our schedule. Okay. The games... when you're going to do Friday and Saturday night games, yes, there's going to be some conflicts because the high school teams had some Friday night games. They've gone to a lot of Saturday games themselves, so we don't anticipate a lot of that. Willing partners, their schedule is already made for next year, so we will send open dates similar to how we go with the Northwoods League. We'll send X amount of dates to them for them to create this schedule. Okay. So we do not see a lot of conflict. There's potential for conflict, obviously.
Sure.
The local hockey association wants us to support this, so they fully anticipate making sure that their tournament schedules can work outside of the schedule of this organization. So contrary to what where we were with the baseball and Northwoods League coming in here, the user groups have fully supported us looking into this venture.
I also might add, just from my experience with having a team in the community where I was, the best attended or the most spectators at any of the junior games were on days that I also had a youth game or a high school game. So that you could make a doubleheader type situation out of it. You could offer things, you know, all of the away teams that are already in town and have nothing to do that night would go to the game anyway, and they can make some, you know, some marketing type situation there. So, well, yes, there would potentially be some conflict and some shifting around of some schedules. I think it's very welcome by all parties.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
So who has control on the concessions?
We will control the concessions. We will share during their game time. We will share concessions 50% of the net is what the arrangement calls for. There's also a formula they use for the gross, and we're not finalizing any of the language on that until we see it, what their proposal is. But in essence, proposing 50% of the net, which would work out for both parties, we believe. They would also have merchandise sales that they would get 100% of. And there would also be potentially adult beverages sold that they would control and deal with themselves, and we would not get a cut of those profits either. So we think it's a pretty good profit sharing arrangement. I don't know, I'm sorry I'm late. Got off the phone with another customer. But as you see on the financial piece, $40,000 for the ice locker room and office space. The $8,000 for advertising, it's the number that they would give us, but I would qualify my numbers aren't totally accurate because we do get a little over $7,000 currently from advertising sales annually. So it's a little bit more off the get-go, and their advertising would be just in the Cardinal Arena, not in the Blue Line Arena, so we would still have access to some of the advertising that we're currently doing in the Blue Line Arena. So I think that's a pretty good arrangement, and as Sean said, it's a one-year. They want to see the success that they're going to have, and we want to do the same so that the arrangement moving forward is workable for both parties. There's another point I was going to make, and it'll come to me in a second, I'm sure. But we've worked with this entity. We've had multiple discussions, and we've had multiple discussions over the years with probably four or five different junior teams. This is the one that seems to have come to us more aggressively. They hosted a exhibition game here a year and a half ago, that had attendance much better than many of the other communities that they are in. So they're very excited to be coming to Wilmer, actually. So.
Tim, you had a question?
Well, I see some reference here to revenues and expenses that they'll be about the same, I guess. I'd like to know what the projected numbers are, Steve.
The biggest expense that is going to increase is utilities. And because we haven't had ice on the first part of September, and we haven't had ice on in that facility that often in March, our best guess at this point is between $20,000 and $30,000 for those 2 months of utility increases. As you can see, their $40,000 would cover those utility increases, and we would fully anticipate selling a fair amount of ice in September and March to our local teams that currently don't buy it because it's not in. Thus why I'm saying it's going to be a break even though I'm fully believing it's going to be greater than that. Obviously, concessions we just talked about briefly, we're going to sell more concessions. But that being said, we just haven't had ice in that facility in September for me to pull a number that's based upon anything other than looking at October utility expenses and looking at March utility expenses in the other arena. That's my best gasp at this point. Obviously there's going to be paper products and some other things that will increase as well. I don't think substantially. Staff time, I think the staff time is covered by the revenue that comes in. During the day, during their practice time, we aren't going to have increased staff time because staff are on duty. So their practices are fully covered. The game times, I think their game expenses cover that. And then with the concession sales, I fully anticipate.
How many games would there be?
22.
22? Do you have an idea of the hours? And I mean,
4 hours.
I mean, has anybody crunched any numbers, or are you just all kind of...
Well, it's 22 games at 4 hours. That's 88 hours. And if you've got a part-time staff member at $10-$12 an hour,
and it's,
you're talking $1,000.
Yeah, it's going to be very similar to what the high school currently leases, because they lease a 4-hour block as well.
So the girls, when do they play hockey?
They're same, Tuesday, Thursdays. Same. Mostly Thursday. So what happens is if the boys are home, the girls are away, and vice versa.
Okay.
And there's a few doubleheader nights, but for the most part, you know, if the boys are playing St. Cloud here, the girls are playing St. Cloud there, is typically how that's set up.
And when do they usually practice then?
After school, so 3 to 6.
Okay.
And these folks will be practicing in the morning.
In the morning.
Yep, or be done by 2:30 or whatever. And they're aware of that. They do that. They do the very same thing up in Alexandria and some of their other places that they...
So do we have enough space to store their jerseys, or do they take them home?
No,
we've
had them on site, and we've discussed locker room situation. We've discussed office space. We feel like we've done quite a bit of discussion with the team, and they know what they're getting. We know what we have to offer. And beyond that, it's can they use, and they feel like they can deal with what we currently have.
And the Hockey Association is for this. And curling too?
Oh. We haven't had much conversation with the curlers. We don't see the impact. The curlers are in the Blue Line Arena. not in the Cardinal Arena.
I think it would be helpful if we had those letters of support, you know, when you give us the contract. Sean?
So, I guess my question would be, this came up tonight, and contracts are going to be presented when?
And send them all tomorrow, hopefully.
The owner that I talked to was surprised his staff did not have it to us when I was on the phone.
And then you're looking for council approval at the next council meeting?
Again, that's what he would hope for. I totally understand that this this process, especially given last week, is not ideal. He had asked us to bring this and try to get approval for the 4th to meet the timelines that are best for him and his planning processes. That being said, this is your decision.
How long have they been doing this?
Doing what?
This group?
This league, and you're going to have 6 teams. And
I have no idea how long this league's been in. The league's been in existence?
I've been here for 17 years, and it predates them. They bounced around a little bit, but they've been in ALEC about that long.
How's it worked in ALEC?
Fully supportive from the conversations mm-hmm. that the user groups have had. Rob has done his due diligence with 3 or 4 arena operators that he's talked to, and they've all been good stewards of their facilities. Yeah.
Well, I would like to have seen some actual crunch of numbers here to have a better feel for what we're talking about. That's all.
I don't disagree. Yeah.
Yeah. As a suggestion, I think if you put that together, because when I first heard this, I thought it was coming to us on the 18th, and we were going to be the 18th of April.
That's I think what staff had initially.
As again, that's what our hope is.
And we won't say when we'll do it. We'll have to see what the comfort level is.
It would take a budgetary amendment because these numbers were not in the 16 projections.
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, it's going to be a revenue neutral. It'll increase hopefully.
It straddles 2 years is the other thing. You know, because they'll come in September, so then we'll start over January 1. So it's only for a couple months this in 2016, and then you'll have a new year.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, the other thing we can do is, my guess is, if you were going to discuss this on the 4th and would want the ownership here to ask questions of, I would anticipate him.
I think that would be.
You know, coming. I can't put words in his mouth, but I would anticipate him. He wants to be here. He's approached us a number of years. Sounds like even potentially prior to me being here. He wants to be. He wants to expand his ownership group, if you will, to this area.
Sean, you had a question.
Yep. I'm assuming that when you enter into these agreements, there's usually a flat fee. I mean, you have here $40,000. I think some of the concerns will be, you know, that's for rental space, that's for ice, that's for Zamboni usage, whatever you want to list on there. And you've kind of come up with a number. I would imagine most of these contracts don't lay out every specific detail of how much Zamboni usage you're going to use right. And so on. So I think probably it would be helpful when it's pitched to the whole council to say, you know, this is the type of expenses that went into the creation of a $40,000 number. Mm-hmm. And obviously we would revisit components of that if September ice costs a huge amount of money, that number won't be $40,000 next time. It would be different. But I think that some people will probably look at a $40,000 number as, is it arbitrary? How did the $40,000 number come from? I know there's numbers that
go
in there.
The breakdown would be there. Yeah.
So if we could just have that, I think that might alleviate a lot of questions.
It's in the document that we anticipate.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's a 10-page document that we marked up a year ago, and Attorney Scott looked at it that same time.
Sure.
Is there anything else that we would like to have that would help move this process along? To your point, I think it would be a good idea if the owners were there. I remember when the Stingers came to town, I think there were two owners, weren't there?
Still is.
Yep.
Still is? Okay.
They had their silent partner there as well.
I thought, yeah. But, I mean, I think it was helpful to put a little bit of a name with the face. And then if the council is agreeable on the 4th, they are. If they aren't, they aren't. But I think as long as you can get them all the information that you're hearing here today and get it out as soon as possible to the full council, it will just help expedite things and move things along.
If you get the Hockey Association to come
letters.
To.
Letters.
Yep.
Because I remember with the Stingers, mm-hmm. the baseball boosters were not happy.
Yeah.
And I found one of my file, and if you don't have it, Steve, oh, you were copied on it too from the figure skaters. So we've got those letters. We can give that to them.
To me, it seems like if it works out, it seems like a winning proposition. We're going to be bringing more people to town. I don't know how big their fan base is, but it might bring some sponsors or whoever, the people that they stay with coming to town. It could have some implications. Go ahead, Steve.
Just, Mr. Chair, just for our information then, as soon as possible, not wait for the council packet to go out. Would you like to see this sent out as soon as we receive it then?
Yep.
If that's appropriate, I assume it is. So.
I move to approve.
You what?
They've been moving to this approve, right, to the council?
No.
For a motion, or is that not?
Well, I guess you can. It could be a recommendation from this committee to approve this. We don't have all the information. I think it might be better to take it as information. But
and it can be listed as a separate item or brought up under finance at the council meeting, depending on what your desires are.
Okay.
I think maybe we should even have it as a separate agenda item.
Well, if it makes sense, then if you'd like the ownership group to be there, that you could put it on early in the agenda so that they wouldn't have to wait through a whole agenda. That might be a...
That would be, and committee. We try to be sensitive to that sort of thing.
You know, Mr. Cruz. Staff has done a good job, I think, negotiating. The rent was substantially less than this, and it's gone up probably by a third. And this is coming as a rather quick opportunity. The owner has an option, first right of refusal, as I understand. And so they're looking, do they want to pull the trigger and do something here at Wilmer? It's structured as a one-year agreement so that it's not like the Stingers and you have a five-year with tails. We can kind of see if it works for them and for us. So I think it's probably the best of both worlds. I think staff has done their best to make it so it's covering the fixed and variable cost of the program. And then if there's other rental ice that we can generate by having early and late ice, that would be a win for the city. And once again, we all apologize that this is coming before us, but the other option is just say no and, you know, go on to, you know, overlook the opportunity. So staff is trying our best.
I agree. And I think the council will be very excited about this prospect too. I just want to make sure that they have information that they think they might need so we can make a decision as soon as we can. Rick?
So are they expanding the league, or it's going to be from a different town? Oh.
If you could not print this, because it is sensitive to the ownership groups that are out there, but it is a transfer of a current location.
Okay.
Yeah, they were denied an expansion team.
Oh.
They asked that question first.
Yeah, a year ago when we were working with them, it was an expansion, but now that is not happening, and now a current team has come open, and that's what they're negotiating on.
Okay. Sean?
Just for my own interest, do we have a name? Or is that going to come later? Is that
we've talked to them about that, and we've talked to them about color schemes even.
Oh, my goodness, all right.
Their anticipation is doing similar to the Stingers. The Stingers had a Name Your Team contest.
Okay.
Using that as part of their marketing.
All right.
Especially this late in the game for them, that'd be a good opportunity for them.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, we'll look forward to that on Monday night.
Sooner,
hopefully.
Yeah, sooner.
Via email sooner, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. I just, as soon as we can get the information to the full council, not just this full council.
Okay, we'll get it out ASAP.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
We'll go to the reports. Does anyone have a question on the Rice Trust? Now we'll go to Moody's.
Okay. One comment, if I may, Mr. Chairman, on the Rice Trust is for those members who have been on the council and even on the finance committee for some time, you remember that this was stayed at $1.5 million for a long, long, long time. and you as a committee changed the investment policy as it dealt with this, and so you see the balance as it is today, so I believe that that was a wise move to change that accordingly.
You know, is there a way that they can, when they scan these things, you see what we got?
No. And then if you go like that,
then it rotates.
I will ask the staff that scan it in that they should be scanned in.
It's very hard to read.
Yeah.
Because if you try to tilt your iPad, it tilts the wrong way.
I know that the scanner in finance does scan a landscape, so we will check with staff and ask them to do that.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
I'd like to go to this Moody's thing, if you wouldn't mind, Steve. Can you kind of walk us through? This might be the first time that we've actually seen the commentary.
And I put it in here for information. It is, the past 2 years we have placed our financing locally, and it's worked well with the local banks for the council members that have been on the council. Moody's is a rating agency, primarily for Sean's information, that the city, when we go out for public sale or a public negotiations, requires us to have a rating. They've changed the rating structure. It used to be A, B, C, and they've changed it to AA, AA2, AA3. We were a AA2 on the conversion when they converted from the old rating system to the new system. We were downgraded based on the level of debt that the city has. It's to the tune of about $170 million. We do have discussions, or we had discussions with Moody's every year to explain what's in place to cover that debt.
Because this covers the hospital?
Covers the hospital and the utilities. The total city obligations.
Okay.
The utilities are totally covered by revenues. The hospital is totally covered by revenues. Our waste treatment plant, which was a large addition to the city's debt, is covered by rates and revenues as well. The city is allowed up to 5% of their market value to have general obligation debt. We have no general obligation debt strictly that applies to that limit. All of our general obligation debt is covered by assessments or our community investment fund or a portion thereof. The reason that the city was downgraded back when we were downgraded from a AA2 to a AA3 was primarily due to the level of debt that we had, and Rice Hospital's financials for that year were unfavorable. And so they downgraded all of our debt at that point. Since that time, we really haven't been back out into the public market. That was 3 years ago that they did that, and we've been placing them privately. Since that time, Rice Hospital's bottom line has improved dramatically. It is now in the black. It was for 15. Some of the debt that we have naturally been retired as we go through. And so they still review, since number of our bond issues were rated, they still do an annual review and comment and send out what they are going to publish for us to review and comment on or clarify or correct anything they may have. And so that's why this was inserted for your review. This was done in the beginning of January of this year. It's one thing that we do include in our official statements when we had official statements and produce them. It's something that we will look again as far as have discussions with Springstead when we look at financing the 16th Street project. The local banks have still expressed an interest, so if we place the debt locally and we can do that in a favorable manner, we still won't have a rating, but that will be strictly up to the council to decide. We'll bring both options to you to discuss, review. The official statement is really a good document as well. Maybe we should include one of our last ones that explains our growth factors, our medium average income. Those are all things that we discuss with Moody's when they talk to us. We talk to them about the not only the level of debt, but the mechanisms, as I mentioned earlier, what do we have available to pay it? The revenues from the waste treatment, the revenues from the utilities, the revenues from the hospital. What is the long-range planning process for the city? How much are we going to be issuing in the future? The city's ability, the city's fund balances, the city's financial position, the longevity of staff, one of the factors I remember talking with Moody's about is our average medium income was substantially lower than what it is in the state, but there are some factors, the college population. At that time, it was the population at the former state hospital, those types of factors, and we talk about that.
Is there, you know, I read through this thing and trying to understand a lot of things. Is there anything in here that concerns you that they didn't get right or anything like that? Or are you concerned that we're at this 3A, 3 or whatever night it is?
I think that we can approach them, and we have done that in the past, and we have had some upgrades. Now that the hospital revenues are back to where they're favorable, our fund balances, the council hasn't changed the policy on that. They're still at the levels that they were. Some of the things we've done locally to have the local institutions participate, it would be a plus in our discussions with them. There are some things. The staffing would still be a possible concern on their part as far as the systematic retirement of long-term employees. I mean, they look at that as a stability issue. Larry had some comments.
Go ahead, Larry. Mr. Chair, and this may be a question for Steve, but in other cities, this past year or so, a number of cities got upgrades and then they got a downgrade. You recall maybe, I don't know, it's maybe a little longer, 06, maybe even 10 years ago, where the state was looking at all these cities that had larger reserves and they wanted to, you know, have them use them, wonder why they had all that money. So then cities dedicated money out of their general reserve for capital improvement items and stuff like that so that it wasn't just in a general amount and call it to protect that money. And then now last, they used to, when we had our bond rating, they used to count that as part of the, you know, the financial stability of the ability to pay, because all it would take is a motion to free up that CIP money for debt service if there was any kind of a situation. But recently, I think last year was, they didn't include that as part of collateral, you might say, that was available, because it wasn't dedicated for debt, it was dedicated for another purpose.
In Willmar, we've had policies in place for probably longer than a lot of other communities as far as our budgeting practice and the charter requirement of where the excess dollars from 15 now will be available for 17. And the council has now formally adopted a fund balance policy, and there are certain set levels. So we've had those in place for a number of years where other communities a lot of times just had dollars. They had maybe informal plans for them, but they didn't have them formally in their documents, in their financial statements, in those types of documents. So we've been a kind of ahead of the game on that part as far as and our budgeting practices and the financial review and those types of things. So
is there anything that we could or should do to improve on that, on our rating? I mean, should We've done some things, you know, formalized the fund balances, but are there things that would make it better? And maybe that's not something you can answer right now, but if there are some policies that need change that would make us
I think some of the things that we've started to do on the capital process as far as more council review, a more solidification of some funding sources like the local option sales tax, or a better defining of the payment management plan that we have started. I think if we can get those systems more solidified, it will certainly help, because that will be something that they look at. One of the things that we did a number of years ago, and I haven't been directly involved recently, was our discussions with the school district and Candiway County. That was a big plus when we did that, because it was the overlapping taxing jurisdictions, which they take into consideration as well. One of the downfalls, or one of the negatives, will be what is the future, not only for our five-year capital program, but Rice Hospital and utilities, when the utilities might be doing something with the power plant. And so, depending on how that fits into the overall debt structure, there may be a year where it would be better to do that because you're going to have other debt falling off.
Mm-hmm.
What the council does, I know there is a balloon payment on the waste treatment plant. Those types of discussions, when you can show them that you're working with that, you're working with the overlapping taxing jurisdictions, goes a long way in assuring them that you are not going to have any surprises from not only you, but the other school in the county as well.
Last question I have, and then if anybody else had, is this AA3, how do we rank amongst our peers?
AA2 would probably be the best that we would be able to increase it to. There was many times when we were an A, and because of the size of the community, because of your tax base, because of the level of debt, we, a lot of times, in conversations with Springstead, felt that with our fund balances, with unfunded fund balance policies, with our management team that was in place, we tried to get that increased, and it was just very difficult to do. When we were building the hospital, one of the pluses that we had is that we had the actual people from Moody's come out and walk through the construction as the hospital was going up, and they were impressed with that. We could possibly invite Moody's out here again for a visit to show them Midwest Campus. That's one of the tools that we use in the discussions. The availability of the commercial or the retail business, the industrial park, now that the airport's been relocated, the availability of tax-based growth is a plus. So that might be a possibility.
Go ahead, Tim.
Thanks. Yeah, my concern when I read this was the city's tax base. I mean, you know, I don't think we're getting the growth that we need. That's what I look at as probably the most important. We're lucky to have some of the reserves we've got. Mm-hmm. I know that. Compared to, you know, we've been criticized for that, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
But it really bothers me because, you know, if we're not if we can't improve our tax base, that affects what we can do. I mean, and our sources of revenue. Also, I mean, our low median income is a detriment to the community. That's why, in my opinion, we have one of the lowest cost housing places that we're a low cost housing place, one of the lowest in the state, and it's probably because of our median incomes. But the tax base bothers me the most.
Those are three things that almost every time that we have conversations with Moody's that we address. The low medium income, the tax base, our discussion or explanation to them is that we have the potential, and things that the council has done has been directly to do that, to be able to increase the tax base. Not that we've been able to do it at this point, but we will point to projects like Midwest Campus as far as bringing things in. Now with the airport relocation and the infrastructure and the use of the local option sales tax for the industrial potential tax base growth, the retail, which is in Southeast Wilmer, we'd have those discussions with them. Dependency on other funding is talked about on the LGA side when the state was unallotting, and the fund balances were the reason, I think, why we were able to sustain our ratings as they were at the time, because of the reasoning behind and the purposes behind the fund balances and the timeline that allows the council to make policy changes rather than be reactive to changes, in that the emergency appropriations would be an example where you have not only the current year, but you have the next year. So that would give you one whole budget cycle, if you were to have to use that for an emergency, to be able to decide what you want to do, rather than having to act right away. It would give you the whole next budget cycle. And those types of reserves. The insurance deductible, those, you know, have all been, there's been purposes behind them.
Could you get some figures to the council as to what our tax base has been for the last, say, 10 years? Is that difficult? I assume Moody's looked at it, so it must be available.
Tax base is always available in the annual assessor's report, but I mean, we certainly can. I mean, that breaks it breaks it down.
I'd be interested in seeing it if you could do that for sure, for the rest of the council.
I'm surprised it isn't on the website or scanned in, but we'll scan it in. And they break it down, excuse me, between industrial, commercial, and residential. So.
Right. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we need to be ashamed by any means what our rating is. I mean, this is a very good rating. So, I mean, I'm not trying to imply by any means that we're not good, but just if there's something we can do to be better.
If I could, I think the two main parts that would help maintain or improve it would be to continue the discussions with the school district and the county. And have that discussions about scheduling debt on how one affects the other, and then maintaining the fund balances. Yeah.
John?
I was going to say the same thing. My concerns are on tax base as well. If you want to improve it, you bring more high-paying industrial jobs instead of just service industry types of jobs to the city of Wilmer.
Well,
we tried to do that, and we're working on that mechanism. I would dare say you probably don't find this per capita value with those types of reserves sitting in most cities.
Well, and one thing,
that's probably why you hear people have a pushback of it as well, is we've got a fairly low average income, but we have fairly sound reserves. And granted, debts are changing and we can adjust for debts, but that final base, that tax base, is going to drive both of those other factors.
And the League of Minnesota Cities always puts out, when they put out comparative tax rates, they have some of the market values and tax base values in their report as well. So for comparative purposes for the region or regional centers or anything like that, a lot of that information is available as well. Mm-hmm. So
John's right, and that's what I'm getting at too, is like, how do you, it's kind of like a private business corporation, you know, in order to increase their profit, their net income, they got to have higher revenues. And we got the same issue. We got our tax base is where our revenue comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't grow it, then we eventually our expenses, such as, like utility increases and stuff that we try to pass on to the consumers, that starts to hurt you too. I mean, there's certain costs after a while, it's pretty hard to pass them on anymore.
If you're
expanding your revenue base, then that gives us more money to work with. So,
that is true as long as the levy limits are off from the state, and that's where some of the discussion with LGA and levy limits in the state.
Right now they're off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Emphasis on right now.
Yeah.
Every year, you know how much additional revenue will come in because of increased tax base or whatever it is.
We figure that out in the budgeting process and provide that information to the mayor when the mayors mm-hmm. are putting together their budgets.
Do you remember what that was?
I believe it would have generated about $60,000 additional with new construction.
That's what I recall, $60,000. Wasn't a whole bunch.
Yeah. And it's not a lot each year, and they're, in 16 that was not captured, which basically maintains the same rate. It increases your revenue, but the tax rate would not really change.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? Well, I found this really interesting, and I think it was, I'm glad you included it in here.
We'll probably try to provide more informational items like this.
I think that's the sort of thing the council needs to zero in on and be aware of. Anything else on this? Is there anything else?
Anybody else?
Do you still meet with the county and
we
school?
Haven't met for a year and a half or something. It used to be
months or 4 months, wasn't it?
It was
every quarter.
Or four times a year. Yeah, yeah.
Every quarter.
Yeah.
And
we haven't, and we need to get that going. And Larry may not even be aware of that. Who goes?
It normally was the finance person, the chief executive officer, the head of their board, and an additional board member. I think there was usually four members from each
entity.
Yeah,
yeah, I went as finance, and Steve, and the city administrator, and the mayor.
Mm-hmm. And then it was finance and the superintendent and board chair.
Maybe it's been a year. I don't know, but we really need to get that going again. And I don't have any idea whose turn it is. Go ahead.
Question for Steve, but A lot of cities are developing a five-year plan, financial plan, and I don't know what the county does or the schools, but it's sure nice for the city to be able to look and time some of our improvements and costs so that we have debt coming on and debt coming off and to time it and stuff like that.
And we do have that on the debt side, and we do have that on the capital side. The operating side would have to be added, but that can be done based on direction from the mayor and the administration.
I wonder if the county has something like that, that we could share that information.
Well, there is an annual outstanding indebtedness report that needs to be filed with the county, and so they do have that for the school districts, the county, all the cities in the county, and are required to file that with them, and then they turn around and file it with the state.
But that's looking backwards. I'm talking about projecting out, like if, let's say that the county was going to build a new courthouse or a building project, and we were, so that they don't come online exactly at the same time.
Right. Most of the footnotes of their CAFRs would include that. There is a footnote where you project what the next 5 years, and then everything after that five-year period. So, I mean,
those are the things that we did discuss around the table too. You know, what are you thinking about? And so, yeah.
Kind of like the school referendum.
Mm-hmm.
Is the county proposing a local option sales tax? Those things were all discussed on those tables.
Yep.
Was beneficial when we talked to Moody's, and they liked that discussion and dialogue going on amongst overlapping taxing jurisdictions.
I think it makes sense. All right. If there's nothing else, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay.
We are. Thank you all. Good meeting.